It's the Thursday brunch with me, Suzanne Radford. And in the first hour, we are inspiring you today with some superfoods to get you through the summer, to cool you down, to refresh and to keep you excited with your food as well. Joining me at the table is Head of Communications for Spinneys, Colette Shannon. Hello, good morning to you.
And good morning, Suzanne.
Good to see you. And, you know, it's just nearly a week ago that I was in your homeland, in the home country of Ireland. And I was only there for just under 3 days. Had the most amazing time with Bord Beer, the Irish food board, which I
my ex-employer you used to work for,
yeah,
for many years.
Amazing. So I was there in Dublin to start with, and they were telling me about their Origin Green, their sustainability program that they're running and working with suppliers, producers, manufacturers, consumers, the whole sort of full circle, connecting people and to their food and understanding where it comes from, but also how they're marketing it as well and exporting it to places like Spinneys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the Origin Green programme that they run in Ireland is just exceptional. As a farmer's daughter, and I think anybody who's tuned into the show when I've been on before know that I am a farmer's daughter, but all farmers, producers, anybody related to the food industry has signed up to this charter. And it's really a way for such a small island, you know, in the away in its own, literally next up, America on one side and Brexit on the other side. They have to, you know, in terms of compete in the international market. And it's really difficult as a nation that exports so much of its food, dependent on agriculture, to compete with big, huge food producers. So I guess the best way to do is compete on the best, similar to what Spinneys do in terms of, you know, quality versus quantity. And I think it was a great way to do that and really set themselves apart on the international stage.
Absolutely. They have a thinking house, and I went into this space and a lot of young techno guys and girls, and what they do all day is research food and food trends, and they work with whether it be the farmer or the manufacturer in helping them develop their brand and their product, and being ahead of the game. So I was looking at pictures, I was looking at products from all over the world. They've got people in lots of different countries sort of scouting for them, you know, food bloggers, the movers and shakers of those countries that are feeding back what's happening in those countries. So they're really across it globally.
Absolutely. And here in the UAE as well, they have Origin Green ambassadors as well. So basically, it's an MBA program that they run with the University of Dublin. And they send people out into the market. So they're learning and feeding back that information to the market, but also supporting companies that are looking at markets such as the Middle East for export as well.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. You're going to be hearing more of the story over the next few weeks as I bring it to you. Me in the potato fields. And also, I actually went to the Spinneys Hen House. Yes, you have your own hen house, actually, in Ireland. And free range, organic eggs. When you look on the shelves of Spinneys, you'll see Spinneys own. And there I was with those little Gerties, as I call them, all the hens, 3,000 of them. And what a lovely day they have. They're just out there scratching around in the grass, in the scrub, eating clover, lovely herbs, having a lovely old time, and we get to eat those beautiful eggs.
Yeah, and happy hens make for great tasting eggs. And, you know, people often say, well, you know, why do you go to Ireland? But it's down to the quality of the eggs and the welfare of the animals that's hugely important to us and our customers. And we can see in terms of the sales of free-range eggs and organic eggs that's really what our customers want. They want that traceability. They want the assurance that they're eating great food.
Well, we're going to be talking about great food today. We're looking at the things that we're eating through the summer, hopefully giving you some ideas and tips as well. If you're on your own, if you're a couple, if you're a family, looking at bringing some nice, good food to the table, you know, cooking at home, creating at home, but keeping it interesting and with good value as well. So if you've got a dish at the moment that you're enjoying or your kids are enjoying, let me know on 4001. We'll be sharing some ideas with you. What have you bought in today,
Colette? It's a lot of fresh items, because I think really at this time of the year, you know, a lot of people, maybe some part of the family has gone home, maybe mum and the kids or whatever. So you might be eating on your own or in terms of smaller groups. So really to be able to pick what you need rather than buying larger pack sizes. So I've brought in some apples, Granny Smith and Pink Lady, which are, you know, just everyday apples. I think things like basil really it's just a smell. It just brings in summer on the plate. Also love tomatoes in whatever advise that whether it's fresh tomatoes, I brought in some plum tomatoes, but also canned tomatoes, because I think that's a base of a soup. It's great, you know, with just pasta, make your own pasta sauce, add some chili in there. I know my kids love it when I do just literally some tiny little bit of chili. They don't really like anything too spicy. A can of tomatoes, with some spinach into it. And then I take mozzarella and just cut it in. So they just love this elastic cheese going into it, and throw cooked pasta into it. And that's it. It's just a meal in literally 10 minutes. Blueberries, because, oh, if you haven't tried them, you really have to taste these ones. They are huge, big, juicy blueberries that we're loving at the moment under the Spinney's food label. And salt, because I brought in tomatoes and I don't think you can have some tomatoes without salt. But we're about celebrating our suppliers. You were at the Hen House. This is salt from Cyprus, and there's just a great story behind that salt and where it's sourced from, and really to kind of bring in the best from the region as well. And I think, oh yes, of course, cookies, because I thought for an ice cream sandwich we all deserve that. And I've also got a cordial, but I think that's something that you can, you know, whether you're making jellies or just a really refreshing drink. I love cordials, and I kind of think it makes water a little bit more exciting. But you know, you can add just that the strawberries into the water as well, which I think in terms of the whole flavored water is really on trend anyway. And you can put absolutely anything. We put rosemary and strawberries into water last week, and it was just unbelievably great.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. You know, just so refreshing, and we need to keep hydrated, and you got the salt in there. We actually do need to replenish with salt, because absolutely, we're losing salt through our bodies. It's, you know, nice and hot and humid out there, so we are perspiring more. And we're going to be flicking through the pages of Spinney's magazine as well. Eat well, live well, and some great ideas of what we can bring to the plate, to our table each evening, just to keep us replenished, but also some lovely ideas as well. So you've got here, and these are all favourites really, and smoked salmon's a big favourite here in the UAE. It's always, it seems to be good value for money, smoked salmon here in the Emirates. And you've got here in the magazine a beautiful photograph, smoked salmon, apple, beetroot and hazelnut.
Yeah, and it's raw. I mean, you don't actually have to cook anything, because I suppose in this heat, the last thing you want to do is actually go into a hot kitchen. So literally just getting your mandolin out, or slicing your apple and your beetroot really, really thinly, and just serving it up. I mean, the whole, again, raw diet, again, on trend. But I just think that something as simple as that, it really does refresh. And you can mix it up, you know, whether you wanted mackerel or you wanted salmon, whatever it might be in there, and really play around with it. Whether you like a really tart apple or a sweeter apple, you could have a bit of fun.
I've been doing, and we're going to get into this a bit more detail later, we've got lots of ideas about, you know, how you kind of have your salads and you, when you want a bit of hot and cold together. But you know, whether, you know, people love the jam jars at the moment, putting in glass jars, and how you can just sort of take leftovers and mix in with some fresh ingredients as well on the day. And this might not sound so nice, but I tell you what, I've really been enjoying this week, and that I'm like trying to ferment a lot more, and I'm using apple vinegar a lot, and apple cider vinegar. And so I had yesterday, it was kind of in keeping with the fresh and leftover. So some cooked cabbage with a bit of apple cider vinegar, some olives. I put in there a bit of halloumi cheese as well. And so it's, you can start to see it's a bit salty. It's not really sweet there, and a bit acidic. But you know what? Mixed in there, put in some seeds and some nuts. And it was really, really crunchy and interesting to taste.
And would you add in any greens, like a quinoa?
Yeah, you could do like that. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, which is always really nice as well.
I always think that in the middle of the day I need something to keep me going.
Yeah,
it's fine in the evening, I can lose the carbs, but during the day I really do need kind of a pasta or something like that. And as you say, great way for using leftovers.
Yeah, for sure,
a can of tuna in top of some pasta that's ready cooked.
Yeah, and you know, maybe because on my travels the last few weeks I was in Portugal, but I've been getting the little tins, but they're really nice tins of Portuguese sardines.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
My husband loves that. Yeah. He used to get that in his birthday bag every year. He used to a can of sardines. We kind of stopped it now, but it was a tradition in our house. He got a can of sardines for his birthday.
Brilliant! Yeah. Excellent man after my own heart. There you go.
If he likes it, he likes it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not? Indeed. So we're sharing what are getting our taste buds going at the moment. When we come back, we'll be sharing the first clue to our mystery ingredient competition to go into the draw to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Spinney's. Stay with us.
Guess the ingredient.
Yep, so it's clue number one to your mystery ingredient to go into the draw today to win a 500 dirham voucher from Spinney's. And we've got Colette Shannon from Spinney's to share the first clue.
Okay, it's unlikely you bite into today's mystery ingredient on its own, but it is a cooking staple for both savoury and sweet dishes. You'll pull it out most often for salad dressings, sauces, marinades, drinks, garnishes and desserts.
Send in what you're enjoying at the moment that's cooling you down through the summer months, that's interesting on the table. We're going to be sharing some recipe ideas with you throughout the first hour of the show today, and sharing some of what's in this month's issue of Spinneys magazine. I'm just looking here at the fresh cooked and peeled prawns that you can get put into a nice bun with the pomelo salad, which looks absolutely delicious. I've been buying the pomelo salad quite a lot recently. And then on the other page here, you've got this lovely looking soup, tomato soup with crispy pesto cannellini beans.
And, I mean, so easy. It is literally a can of tomatoes, some stock, and you can make your own stock or you can buy it ready made. And literally just frying off or toasting the cannellini beans with some pesto. And then you can use the leftovers, you can freeze them, you can, you know, make it into a hummus or something like that afterwards, and a dollop of creme fraiche, of course, on top. But I think anything, whether even if it's a canned soup, you know, making it your own, adding a little bit of something to the top of it, some chopped nuts, the creme fraiche, a drizzle of some flavoured olive oils or something like that, really just elevates it to the next level. And you don't have to do everything yourself. As I say, you know, this time of the year, you don't want to be in the kitchen, to really just take a little bit of time to yourself.
Food news.
Let's take a look at the news story that's caught Colette's eye and mine as well. I wanted to, I know you've got a few stories there, Colette, but a couple of them are around sort of how we want to eat through the summer months, and, you know, looking at whether it's being healthy or whether it's being creative. And I've also got a story here from the Telegraph about summer food trends. So you go first. Which story do you want to share?
I thought maybe since I'm getting ready for a wedding in Ireland in a couple of weeks, that the most helpful healthy eating tool, accurately evaluating how hungry you are, might help me in my quest to get into that dress. So basically, this is a story from Down Under. So it says that the most helpful healthy eating tool I know is not about what you don't eat, it's about tapping into how hungry you are and learning how to listen and respond to your body's hunger cues. In it is an invaluable key to nourishing yourself as well as avoiding overeating. And basically they have a hunger continuum from 1 till 10, and then 1 you're famished, and then obviously at 10 you're completely stuffed. So really they say to stay around 3 to 7 is your ideal in terms of eating. And again, just getting back to listening to what your body needs. I think, you know, during the summer here, whether that's salt that we mentioned earlier, but just sometimes you kind of push yourself back from the table and you are absolutely stuffed. But it's remembering to put down the spoon halfway through or the fork halfway through and kind of stop and think to yourself, you know, am I full?
Yeah.
Have I had enough?
I think this is a really good idea, because even last night I'd had been exercising, and then I had some supper, and then I was like, I'm still hungry. And then I was like, are you really? Do you really? Because then that's when
you're
at that.
Thirsty.
Yeah, well, maybe, exactly. Yeah, maybe it was thirst. Because that's when you're at the sort of danger area of like, well, maybe I'll just go and have something sweet. Or can I go for a piece of fruit? Or do I want more savoury? And it's like measuring how you're eating and what you're eating. And really, like you said, understanding if you're truly hungry, or is that more your mind playing tricks rather than your stomach really being...
Yeah, because, you know, I know certainly the Thursday evening now, I'll go home and think, oh, you know, it's been a tough week. I'm going, I deserve something. But do you actually want it or need it? Is that kind of way of just kind of thinking before you eat. And I think that's hugely important to any balanced diet, is to really stop and think, do I want it, do I need it? And then, you know, in terms of, I read in the National today that breatharian,
yes, this is all over social media as well.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. There's no way.
Sometimes all we need is the air that we breathe. Isn't that a song?
Yeah, yes, I think it is. I'm not really sure that would be enough for me. But, you know, 200 to 400 calories certainly wouldn't work for me. But, it, you know, obviously works for her. But
if you're not familiar with the story, I'll just give you it in brief, because it is something I want to pick up later on future shows. But a woman in the UAE, and she's basically been looking at how she's eating and losing weight. But actually, in that process, discovered this breathing. We breathe all the time, don't we? But actually understanding how she's feeding her body. She'd done quite an extensive detox, and through that process,
she's in Belgium, right?
Yes, yeah. And then through that process had decided that she doesn't need to eat as much as she does, and has really worked on sort of breathing and believing that she can get what she needs from the sun, from the environment, and through this sort of method of breathing. Now, obviously, this is something you need to be very careful of. We're not advocating that you... And she says that she's not starving herself. She says that she's not, but she's reduced her calorie intake considerably. So I think we do need to be careful about what we do and how we feed ourselves, particularly if we're looking to lose weight. But I also think we probably do overeat. Generally, we probably do. We probably don't need as much as we think we do. And that's about trying to really hone down the balance. Now, just to go over that again briefly for me, Colette, in the sense of the spectrum and how you measure or how you sort of think about whether you're full or not.
Yeah, basically it says you'll be better armed to listen to your body and be more inclined to pass on the oversized muffins that show up in the break room at work because you realise you're comfortably at a 5 on the continuum before from breakfast earlier. So basically it goes from 1, you're famished, and then you're 2, uncomfortably hungry, 3, strong feelings of hunger, first signs of hunger is number 4, and then 5 is neutral, you're neither hungry nor full, and then you go to nearly full, comfortably full, very full, and then I'm missing the last page, but basically it is stuffed. stuffed and even more stuffed. It goes on to there. But really, it starts off as, you know, from a childhood, from babies understanding and knowing when they've had enough. And then all of a sudden, we kind of fall into this whole time of, you know, I deserve this, I want this, or you've a heat plate and it's bad to leave food on your plate and stuff like that, and we kind of forget, well, actually, have we listened? Are we hungry? Are we thirsty? And where am I on that spectrum of hunger?
So there you go, have a think about it. Where are you on that spectrum of hunger at the moment? Now people texting in with what they love during the summer months, and it's so nice, as particularly it's the holidays, that's when we get our younger listeners. And we've got Ariba that's messaged in, and she's 12 years old, and she says, in summer, lemonade always cools me in the heat. Same with ice cream. Now, lemonade, an interesting one. Have you made homemade lemonade before?
I did a long, long time ago. I worked for Kenwood Kitchen Appliances, and it was one of the recipes that we used to show the kitchen machine, because in traditional lemonade recipes, you put a raw egg.
Do you?
And you could put the whole egg in.
Really?
It was good fun. But I don't need to, because Spinney's produce a fantastic lemonade in store. So we do a fresh lemonade now as part of our new range. So, yeah.
Do you have sugar in it? Is there a lot of sugar? Or can you... I mean, obviously, if you're just juicing lemons, it's going to be quite sour.
Yeah, you do need some sugar. You do need a sugar syrup in lemonade, without question. But I think, it's down to that balance. I mean, there's nothing wrong with sugar, you know, it's just in the quantities that we consume it in, and you know, there's a lot of worse things that you could be drinking than lemonade, but I just think in terms of knowing how much you need during the day and, you know, understanding that. But if you make lemonade at home, you know how much sugar you put in it, and that's the important thing, I think, in terms of really kind of taking over making it yourself. That is the best way to have a healthy diet and know what you're eating. And, you know, that's been one of our key messages all this year at Spinney's, is, you know what's in your family's food, you know, and how much sugar, how much salt and everything else, and what are you eating and where it's come from.
Keep your messages coming in. What's cooling you down this summer? 4001 when it comes to food. Jerry here saying, I love it because I've got kids and we've always got popsicles, homemade popsicles. My wife makes them, but I like to sneak a few when I can out of the freezer. That's always a great one, isn't it? So, you know, you can make your own as a little ice lolly pops and put them in the freezer for the kids and for you.
And of course, the whole on-trend product of edible flowers.
Wow, well, you know, it's on the top of my list from the Telegraph.
There you go. I mean, you know, I think one of the UK retailers just launched edible flowers, and I was kind of slightly thinking to myself, well, Spinney's have had them for over a year, so it's been fantastic. And they're brilliant. I mean, in terms of turning just any ordinary meal into something spectacular. And I think they're great in ice lollies. And again, I brought in the cordial, so the elderflower, you know, something like that, just top that in and put a few edible flowers in there would just be spectacular as a, you know, maybe a dessert after dinner or something when you've had a really full dinner, you don't need something too heavy. That would be ideal, and you could have a bit of fun with that.
Guess the ingredient.
So clue number two to our mystery ingredient to go into the draw to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Spinneys. I'm working Colette today, so over to you for our next clue.
Okay, number two. This ingredient has been around for as long as we can remember. It's believed to have originally grown in the region of northeast India, Burma or China. It entered Europe by the 2nd century during the time of ancient Rome and was later introduced to Persia and the Levant around 700 AD.
We are working our way through Spinneys magazine this month, looking at ways to cool ourselves down and keep really great produce into our food, into our dishes, into our recipes, creating at home. Now, many of you have texted in with your ideas, what you're enjoying at the moment. They're all cold dishes, and I know what you mean. It's that time of year where you just want lovely, gorgeous, you know, fruits and salads and bringing it all together. But I do wonder, what are you eating hot? Because I was saying to producer Snowell the other day that I'm like all over the salads all the time, and then I get at least once a week, and then I'm like, I've got to have something what I feel is really substantial, you know, bringing it all, something hot and putting that on the plate. So we're having a look at that with Colette Shannon, Head of Communications from Spinneys, mum of two as well. So how are they faring in the summer heat?
I'm not sure whether they're struggling as much as I might be when I come home in the evening. It's really, really hard. But they're doing a lot of baking. They're doing a lot of art. And what I've done is, just because it's quite expensive, we're doing summer camp every second week. Because, as I say, it's just difficult. And then you have to get the taxis back and forth. Yeah. So it just all adds up. So I'd rather keep that money aside for when we get to Ireland. But yeah, so they're having fun. Last night was quite funny. I got into the house and Murray and Tessa came running towards me. They'd made cupcakes. I sang the whole kit and caboodle. They'd done the lot. And I was going out to meet my girlfriends last night. So I ate one of them. And then Murray was like, "Mummy, your teeth are blue. Your tongue is blue." And my whole mouth was blue from the amount of food colouring, which is not really a good thing. But, you know, it's a cupcake. I'm not going to get upset over that. But yeah, it does. And trying to get them to drink enough water is a little bit difficult. But, you know, so we do things like competitions in terms of, you know, how much can you drink and put one against the other. And also just in terms of increasing things like watermelon, apples, anything that cucumbers. So anything that's got a lot of water in there, then, you know, just make it a little bit more interesting.
You could do a fruit cup, because according to the Telegraph, the UK's Telegraph newspaper, some of trends coming out of the UK. So it's not here, but interesting what they're doing, because it's right up our street, is apparently upcycling fruit. And I'm thinking, what's upcycling fruit then? Well, Pinterest were reporting a 37% increase in upcycled fruit posts. And one here is of a watermelon cut in half, where they've taken all of the fruit and the flesh out and put it back in again. But you can add a few things in there, so you've got a nice fruit cup to eat out of. And that's really refreshing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think we eat with our eyes as well. And to make it fun and interesting, you could do that, I guess, with oranges or lemons or anything really, just to scoop it all out and put it back in with maybe a mix of other things, as you said. Or you could, with the watermelon, maybe freeze it, make a nice granita or something like that, which would be really nice, and put it back in again. And then again, you got refreshing. And our kids love to, you know, with a straw, to do watermelon and actually drink it with a straw is so much more fun than just eating the watermelon.
As opposed to eating a burger through a straw, because that was also on one of our news stories today about, which I... Yeah, burger straws are the hot new fast food trend spreading across Japan. And I'm looking here at like a polystyrene cup, a well-known burger brand chain there, with a burger on top of the cup and a straw through the burger. Oh, it just looks absolutely awful to me.
I stopped at the styrofoam cup. But it's... No, I couldn't. But actually, have you tried? I know I don't normally do plugs, but have you tried our new brioche burger buns? Not there to die for, really. Are I
should have brought some in with you. Why are they?
They're just a proper brioche bun. And you know that if you're going to do a good burger, and I always do my own, make them, get the mince and add, you know, whether it's onions or chili or coriander. You can add some really nice cheeses into the meat itself, and then do it, or brush the just a plain burger with some curry paste or pesto or something like that if you want to mix it up. But you need a decent bun. So we've introduced two buns. There's a potato malted bun and then there's a brioche. And I think if you're doing that, and I think in this month's magazine, actually, there's one showing a breakfast burger as well. And I think breakfast is the one meal, and I've said this a few times, is as a family, we sit down for, because both Chris and I are out of work all day. So we all sit down as a family of four and we have breakfast, and to really play around with that. And I think if you get that good start, so doing those breakfast burger is great fun for the kids as well.
Fantastic. Refreshing superfoods you should be eating this summer. This is according to the Insider, and on there would be things you would expect, and I've certainly been eating them myself this week. Avocados, great source of fats, but you know, good, there's some good ones around at the moment. Summer berries as well, of course. Bring all your berries together, your raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, cherries. I love my cherries. Great, yes, for
they're lovely at the moment.
Oh, they are, aren't
really,
they?
Really
good. Really good. Yep, so your cherries there. Then this is interesting. They've put on their list here, sweet summer corn loaded with potassium. So take your corn on the cob, if you like, and grill it. But you can add some really nice things to it as well. So, you know, when you're grilling the corn, you can maybe make up a little barbecue sauce, or homemade, something like that.
Yeah, or some nice chili butter.
Yeah, chili butter. Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, or coriander butter. I love, you know, flavoured butters. They're so easy to make, you know, just soften the butter a little bit and add in some chopped herbs or chopped chili or something like that, or lemon juice or something. It just makes butter a little bit more interesting for the top of whether it's fish or corn or something like that.
And the kids like the corn, don't they? They can pick it up and get stuck in.
Absolutely. They absolutely love it. But also if you take it off the cob and just toast it a little bit in the pan with some butter, chili, something like that as well, it just makes it a little bit more fun and interesting as well.
Well, a couple of people have been talking about stir fries that have texted in what they're enjoying, and that's always a great one. It's easy, you can get home, throw it all in. And I see here in Spinney's magazine you've got lots of ideas as well. You've got your packs that, you know, your aubergine stir fry, different varieties. You've got your prawns as well, but you bought in your I've gone blank now. What is it? It's the like a cucumber, but not a cucumber.
Courgette.
Thank you, courgette.
I love courgette either. I quite like it raw, like a spaghetti. You could do it with the spiralised vegetables, and we have one spiralised already in store as well. But I love courgette, and obviously I love it with garlic, and just it's so simple. Or make just a simple pesto and put it over it, and to have the basil there as well. So just make it our rocket pesto, also really nice with it.
So this would work, of course, for any size of family, but particularly if you're single, I think a stir fry is really great and easy, healthy, substantial. You can make it as much as or as little as you want, but there's no excuse for thinking, I've come home, I'm tired, I can't really be bothered, it's only me, I'll just ring in for a takeaway. Actually, you can easily, as long as you've got the ingredients, throw it all in your pan, your wok, and you're away.
Yeah, and it takes 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's psychologically, you think, it's going to have to cook and it's going to take a lot. But one pan wonders are fantastic. Or, you know, we mentioned the prawns earlier, to go in and get the spiralized vegetables or something like that, mix up a really simple salad pretty quickly, add things like the prawns or cooked chicken or shredded chicken, some chopped nuts, or kind of, you know, any of the ready grains as well, and just really do a leftovers. Or beans. I think I brought in some chickpeas as well. They're a great way to bulk up some salads and simple foods.
We've mentioned this before, but just a bit more on the if you wanted to put things into jars, or you know, it doesn't have to be a jar, but I get the reasoning, because you can layer and it's sort of contained in that shape of a jar. Yeah. I mean, apart from trying to be cool and looking trendy and cool. But you can do this and kind of either keep the cost down or the calories down. So have a think about that. You know, there's heaps out there, whether it's your shredded carrot and beetroot and cabbage, whether you're throwing your chickpeas in there, maybe you've got your drizzle of olive oil, maybe some lemon juice, sprinkle of salt. You can get, I don't know about, you could put fish in there, but maybe something more like,
you could do dried fish.
I was going to say,
like smoked mackerel or your smoked salmon or something like that.
That's right.
Would hold really nicely.
That would hold well. Obviously chicken. I mean, chicken's coming up in so many of the recipes, interestingly. I have got a few heavier ones for later, but you know, they're coming up on whether you're on your own, whether you're a family, whether it's a couple, as being obviously a good buy. people think of a white meat as being more healthy. I think it, you know, it depends really.
Yeah, it does depend. I mean, I have to say I love things like leftover, whether it's roast beef or roast lamb or something like that, and just putting it into a wrap with maybe a yogurt dressing or, you know, a mint sauce or something like that, and a couple of kind of cold roasted vegetables. I mean, I think a wrap with cold stuff in it is fantastic.
And what you've just hit on there is, I love, is, you know, roasted vegetables. So, you know, strips of, so, you know, get your peppers, get them nicely grilled and get a bit of a spice on there, put those inside. Beautiful, your aubergine as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can do even root vegetables in there. Work perfectly fine because they'll have sweetened up from being roasted. And then you could either go with kind of a really fresh, you know, minted yogurt or something like that, or as you say, spice it up and do kind of some really curried vegetables in there, and some chicken or lamb or beef, whatever it might be, or prawns.
Yeah, so we're giving you lots of ideas. I'm feeling hungry, but yeah, lots of tasty ideas when it comes to something that keeps you fresh, keeps you cool, but also nice and tasty, which is all important with good ingredients. And it's time for
Guess the Ingredient.
Your next clue to our mystery ingredient to go into the draw to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Spinney's.
Okay, this ingredient first became known for its healthy properties on board the ships of the 18th century. It was used to help treat scurvy and was common among sailors of the time due to vitamin C deficiency. Since then, this ingredient has long been touted for its therapeutic role, which includes strengthening the immune system, cleansing the stomach, and acting as a blood purifier. It's also rich in nutrients and a source of vitamin C, B6, A and E.
People sharing their inspirations through the summer months or any time of the year, I suppose. I mean, the thing is, it's funny with us in that we, you know, we have good weather pretty much all year round. Yeah. But certainly the temperatures are so much higher through our summer months than the rest of the year. So, you know, because when you're reading articles from around the world, they're talking about their summer and their winter. That's very different to what our summer and our winters are. So it's always pretty warm, but it's particularly hot, as we know, hot and humid at the moment.
Hot and really hot.
Hot and really hot, exactly. As I said, I was in Ireland and they were having their little mini heat wave. Everyone was just melting and they were saying we can't sleep and we're really struggling. And I was just like, oh, it was kind of like a cool day in Dubai, actually. It was beautiful, beautiful. But yeah, so it does affect us. It affects our appetite. It affects our palate. But we also have to be aware of, you know, keeping hydrated and replenishing what we're losing through perspiration. Now, people texting in, and this is an interesting one about doing pizzas. We love pizzas. We love pizzas all time of the year. This is from Benny. But what we like to do when it's kind of hot and also it's quick is to do like a frying pan pizza. So we haven't got the bread in there, but we've got like the, we might use egg. We'll make like a nice base out of egg, almost like an omelette, I suppose, or frittata, but throw in lots of lovely ingredients and the kids really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, pizza is one of those things. You can put whatever you want into it. And, you know, I also think I'm trying to, you know, in terms of pizza possibly would be my deathbed meal if I had to pick one. But, you know, just in terms of mixing it up, whether you actually have a base, you could do, you know, in terms of raw base, you could do in terms of shredded cauliflower is often one that is used. But I tend to use like pita breads and Arabic breads and just use those or a tortilla as a base. It's just, well, it's there and ready to go, and then you can just add it on top of that, and as you say, do it in the frying pan, and it's really quick and easy. It's just, I guess, the whole thing, it's on bread or it's on something, but just maybe mixing that up as well in terms of kind of fresh ingredients, and, you know, rather than cooking the mozzarella out, maybe put it on fresh or a burrata or something like that on top, which would also be really nice. I love those kind of fresh cheeses during the summer, and a tomato salad is one of my kind of favourite things to do, and just literally slicing up the different coloured tomatoes and just putting it on the plate. I do marry them with salt, but just either putting some torn mozzarella in the middle or a burrata. It's just, I think
delicious.
That's just somewhere, and a couple of baby basil leaves on top is just fantastic.
You can't go wrong. I just don't think you can go wrong with that. It's just beautiful. You know, you get all those tastes and flavours going together, and it's lovely and cool and refreshing. More messages here as well. We're talking about hot food, if we're getting into what we could eat in summer, and you mentioned before about the flavoured butters, and somebody's suggesting here pistachio butter on steak. Now, I like a good steak, certainly something, and we're lucky here in that we do get great great product, and you know, it's not breaking the bank. You know, perhaps if I was back in England, I don't think we'd be I'd be eating steak as much as I probably have a piece of steak once a week actually here in Dubai.
Yeah, I think we probably would be similar. I think eating it at home obviously is okay,
yeah,
you know, in terms of value wise. And then you know, you can have your everyday steak, whether that's New Zealand or Australian, just your grass fed, and then you can trade up if you want your Angus or your Wagyu on special occasions. But you wouldn't be having that every week.
No.
And I think that the kind of everyday one is great value for money. But I also think in terms of, if you go back to your salads and the warm salad, of taking a steak and slicing it, and then that one steak could do two or three people, or maybe even four, you know, if in our house for the kids, it would stretch to actually the four of us. Tessa's only 2.5, so you know, it really would. And you know, that's a great value, but an easy thing to do, because I think sometimes, you know, in terms of how much do you need, and back to that kind of continuum of hunger,
yeah,
and where are you on that spot.
And you know, if you're on your own like me, what I'll sometimes do is buy two pieces or even one quite large piece, and it have part of it for my evening meal. I'll cook all of it, have part of it for my evening meal, but the next day I cut it up into thin strips and add it into a salad, again with a nice vinaigrette, nice and rich, and just have that lovely, in fact someone else texting earlier about a nice papaya salad. So if you want to get those sort of Thai flavours going with strips of beef, absolutely delicious.
I also do with a sandwich, just taking a baguette, some either roasted vegetables or just stir fried in the pan, maybe with a little bit of balsamic vinegar, so peppers, courgettes, and maybe an onion, and then putting that in. A shabu shabu is another one in terms of taking that 2 seconds in the pan, and cutting that, and then I like a really mature cheddar, just grate it on top, stick it under the grill for a couple of minutes, and that is just really, really fantastic. But also, again, it's 10 minutes. It's not very long to do anything like that. And that's the whole thing of make it fast and maybe not do everything yourself.
Now, if we're looking at maybe entertaining at home, and we're bringing all of these ideas together, there, you know, you could do a nice starter, like you've just mentioned. You could do a lovely tomato, mozzarella, basil, olive oil, salt, pepper if you want, and that could be a great start. A nice big piece of crusty bread, that kind of thing, maybe some flavoured butters,
and put it in the middle of the table,
yeah,
so everybody can just tuck in. And
tuck
I think
in.
That's really nice during this time of the year, that kind of around the table sharing, and you know, it's just easier. And then have variety, maybe, you know, have two salads for a starter. You could do a really nice a fruit salad as well, you know, in terms of, it doesn't always have to be for dessert, and just bring it in and mix it up that way. But
yeah,
sharing plates and a bit of variety,
yeah,
in there.
Absolutely. And if you want to, like I do, bring things in from where you've been travelling. So like when I left Portugal, I went to stay with friends in London and took there. In Portugal, they do this thing where you sit before you eat and they'll bring out like some bread, and you will have like sardine or tuna pate. But they also bring cheese out as well, and so you're all, and it's like, you know, you're already going to be full before you start your dinner. But I did take the little pâtés, bought them in Portugal, took them to my friends when I was there, you know, flying in to London for the night and stayed with them. So we might bring a bit of that influence in. So then for main course, you could go for a lovely whole salmon, something like that.
Yeah,
beautiful. I love that. A whole salmon down the middle of the table, cut it up into your pieces, or everyone can help themselves, with a lovely great big salad, some new potatoes, maybe fresh potatoes with your butter.
Yeah, absolutely. And the herbs, bringing those in as well, because I think that those colours are fantastic on the table, and having those textures and colours, you know, so inviting at this time of the year, because you need the sunshine inside in the house, because obviously you're not going to be eating outside here during the summer.
I love that idea of that, Colette. Bring the colours into the house. Now, we've been very good, but it's beautiful flavours. But let's get a bit more decadent for dessert. And I see in Spinney's magazine, you've got lots of lovely chocolatey recipes out there. So what would you put on the table for maybe a little supper party, dinner party?
I brought in the our Spinney's food cookies because, I mean, I think they have their own following in the UAE. People absolutely adore them and they come in a lot of different varieties. And I think just doing like an ice cream sandwich. So just really some good quality vanilla ice cream and just putting in between the cookies. I think it's just a really, really easy one. And then I know there's a recipe in the magazine for a really lovely fondant as well. But I, you know, again, I will often cheat in desserts, and I would often take the ready desserts and just you know, put maybe a drizzle of a coulis on top or just some icing sugar if I'm really cheating and things like that. But I also like creme fraiche with lemon or clementines or something like that together. It's just really nice and summery.
And Naju had texted in earlier, which is a really nice idea, and I've done this occasionally, is when you're talking about drinks and refreshing drinks, why not take like a herbal tea? So you could take like a chamomile or something, or a lemon, and just let it cool down, add ice to it, and have like a refreshing iced herbal tea, which is a nice idea.
It is. I'm probably one of the few Irish people that doesn't drink tea. But yeah, see, I would probably do that with the cordial, you know, the elderflower, and add in slices of fruits and stuff like that and loads of ice. I think that would be fantastic. And some mint leaves and all that, and just make it. Again, it's that refreshing, but what it looks like, a big jug in the middle of the table, and let people help each other themselves with it. And maybe, again, offer a variety, give them two options.
Now, it's nearly time to say goodbye to Colette, but before you go, you've got to share our next clue.
Guess the ingredient.
So this is clue number four to our mystery ingredient to go into the draw to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Spinney's.
This fruit should be picked at peak ripeness because, unlike many fruits, it will not continue to ripen or improve in quality after being picked. The colour of the skin will tell you if it's good for consumption. If it's still a little green, it's not yet ripe, and the paler the skin means it may be overripe. In the kitchen, you can use both the fruit and the skin in your cooking.
Thank you very much. Until next time, Colette, thank you.
Thank you very much.